22-year-old son, Jonathan. I'm a registered dietitian, food sensitivity specialist, and the type of medicine that I practice, or nutritional therapy, is very heavily influenced by integrative and functional medicine. So I'm sure all of you know what that is. It really focuses on a holistic view of the patient or the client. So, for instance, instead of treating a diabetic, we treat a person who has diabetes. So focusing on the whole person, realizing that spirituality and emotional health, sleep, rest and rejuvenation, movement, all of that plays a really big role in their whole mind-body wellness. I'm a wife, of course, and then a mom, and I haven't been a mom that long. My son is only 2 years old, and again, I'm still kind of learning on the job. But what I've heard a lot from other moms, whether they're grandmas or a mom of five, is that you never really feel like you have a grasp on things. You kind of just go with the flow. And when you feel like you do have a grasp on things, your kid is going to change, and you just kind of have to roll with it. So, as Suzanne mentioned, I'm pretty busy, but who isn't busy? Life is always going to be throwing stuff at us. We're always going to have stresses. We're always going to have a baseball practice. We're always going to have to make dinner and make lunches. It's really about prioritizing time. And if you're looking at gaining health, prioritizing food and your food choices is going to be of utmost importance. And so we've all experienced mom guilt. It's built into our DNA. We feel guilty over everything. I know I'm guilty of, if my son drops something on the floor, I sometimes let him eat it, and that's okay. But sometimes I feel really bad about that. Sometimes I don't. And so I kind of figured out that you can feel guilty over everything. But the four things that I've realized that people, that moms, for mom guilt, are feeling the guiltiest about is, one, we're too tired. We're all tired. You can get as much sleep in the world, but you're still going to feel tired. And these are a lot of complaints that I get from clients that I'm seeing. And so what I'm listing here, I'm going to go through what I focus on for nutritional therapy and how can we navigate your way out of this symptom that you're having. We're in a bad mood. You know, you sat in traffic, if you're a working mom, you had to deal with your coworkers, and sometimes it's really easy to take out and project your anger on the people that are closest to you. And especially a little person, sometimes it's really easy just to hack, you know, get mad. So we're in a bad mood, we get mom brain. It's kind of an interesting phenomenon. Like, the moment you get pregnant, you just develop this mom brain, which isn't necessarily a good thing. You're just always foggy and you can't remember anything. And then lastly, we become sometimes reactive versus being responsive. And so reactive is more so when you're in that fight or flight mode, you know? So if somebody says something and it just really makes you mad and you fly off the handle really quickly, versus being responsive. Somebody says something to you, you accept it, and you manufacture it in your head, and you respond appropriately. And so oftentimes when we have a culmination of too tired, a bad mood, and mom brain, we become really reactive, and reactive is not always a good thing. So what are some antidotes to, again, that's my son, I'll get to that picture explanation here in a second. So what are some things that we can start to acknowledge so that we can make life a little bit easier? On your chair, I left a note page for you. So, you know, these are just points that you can ponder on later when you're at home, maybe realizing that the first one, am I actually being productive or am I just really busy? And there's a really big difference between those two things. So I'm sure that all of us have had those days where we just lay down in bed, like, oh my gosh, I got nothing done, but I'm so busy and I'm exhausted. And I know I have those all the time. And it takes a lot of prioritizing and really trimming the fat in terms of my obligations during the day to really be productive and truly get things done. The next one's really hard. Scheduling time for work and then also time for play. And realizing that self-care is not selfish and that it's impossible to pour from an empty cup. And so oftentimes we think that the quantity of time that we're spending with our family is what matters, you know, so we should be spending 8 hours a day, every day with our kids. But it's really the quality of the time that matters, not the quantity. So I know I'm guilty of, if I'm at home with my son, he'll be playing in his room, and I'll be in the room with him, but I might be playing on my phone, and then next thing I know, like 3 hours go by, and I'm like, okay, I spent about 3 hours hanging out with my kid. But it wasn't good time. It wasn't quality time. So realizing, again, that maybe even if it's 30 minutes versus 3 hours, being engaged and going on special dates with your kids and really spending that time engaging with them. This one's also really hard too. Being okay with things left undone. I'm still working on being okay going to sleep with dishes in the sink. That's just one of my weird quirks. I just can't get over it. And also being okay with asking for help. We oftentimes try to be martyrs and do everything ourselves. Anybody else guilty of that? Not delegating well? And again, that goes back to not being able to pour from an empty cup. We have to be able to ask for help. And it also sets a really, really good example for our kids. Picking your battles. This was a battle that I picked. Jonathan did not want to eat dinner unless he had a diaper on his head. So that's what this is. That's a diaper. And you know, that's just a battle I just let him have. He was happy wearing a diaper, and that was the only way that he was eating his dinner. And the last one is just laugh at yourself. So these times are fleeting. And I feel like, I mean, Jonathan's only 2 years old, but I feel like I just had him yesterday, and he's growing up so quickly. And so it's fun to look back at these moments. I'm sure at the time I was so frustrated, but hopefully happy enough to at least take a picture. But just laugh at yourself and just, you know, realize that a sense of humor is going to get you through this. I have to remind myself of this every day, that nobody's too busy. It's all just a matter of prioritizing. So going back to what I said, trimming the fat of those unnecessary obligations, things that don't fulfill you, if they don't make you happy, if people don't make you happy. It sounds mean, but you got to just focus on you and your family, because that's what matters the most. And good food means you're going to be in a good mood. The body runs off of vitamins and minerals and amino acids and fatty acids, and those are the building blocks of life and neurotransmitters. And we have to have those, and we need an abundance of those through good quality food. So we need to make sure that the diet is the foundation of everything. So supplements are great, but they're supplemental to a good diet. So as I mentioned, I'm gonna go over those four reasons that moms get mom guilt, and like the four common complaints that I get from clients when I'm seeing them in the office. And a lot of these are symptoms that, you know, doctors hear about all the time. And I know I got the you're a new mom, everybody's really tired, just deal with it. But there are a lot of things that you can do nutritionally to help manage that. So the first thing that I talk about, aside from, of course, having a good balanced plate, which I'll get to here in a little bit, is I really like to look at levels of different vitamins, and there are several tests out there to do that. I like to look at what's going on inside the cell. And in terms of fatigue and energy levels, things like the B vitamins are gonna be super, super important. The B vitamins are kind of that fuel that metabolic pathways in the body and provide you with a lot of energy. So if you are really low on your B vitamin status, you're going to feel sluggish, and you may have some difficulty with maintaining your metabolism. Proteins and leafy green vegetables are really, really good sources of B vitamins. Getting antioxidants through the diet, so antioxidants from herbs and spices, bell peppers, broccoli, cruciferous vegetables, fruits, that's a great way to get antioxidants in. Vitamin D is a super vitamin when it comes to energy levels. So of course, getting it from the sun is great. Food is a little bit more difficult to get it from, and so here a supplement is really, really helpful. And then CoQ10. CoQ10 plays a really big role in mitochondrial function. CoQ10 you produce quite a bit in your body, but sometimes you just need a little bit of help. Certain medications can cause a CoQ10 deficiency, as well as abnormalities in GI function. And so that's kind of one of the first things that I do, is analyze the diet, see where we can make improvements, do a nutrient analysis, figure out where we may need some supplementation. And then moving on to the next step is balancing your blood sugar. And in a little bit, I'll talk about how to balance a plate so that you get a really good level of blood sugar throughout the day, so you're not having all these huge peaks and valleys. Satiation is a fancy word for feeling full, getting enough food. So if you skip a meal and you get that hangry feeling, another version of being hangry is just getting really tired. And then sleep, of course, plays a really, really big role. Obviously, if you're not sleeping well, you're going to be tired. That's how the body is designed to work. So making sure that sleep also becomes a priority. That's when our hormones kind of reset and digestion kind of resets, and we build our muscles, and so sleep is really, really, really important. Okay, so the next area is bad mood, or just being mean mommy, as my son likes to call me. Again, I really like to look at the micronutrients, and those B vitamins are coming back up again. So the proteins and the leafy green veggies. Serine plays a really big role in brain chemistry, and that's another one that will pop up on a nutrient panel. Vitamin D, again, so important for hormone regulation, as well as so many other things in the body. And then inositol, which is another one that helps with neurotransmitter and hormonal production. We talk a lot about blood sugar regulation, going back to focusing on the sleep. And then oftentimes, if I have somebody who is just kind of all over the place in terms of their mood, I'll look at a stool panel and see if they have any sort of dysbiosis going on. So whether they have too much bad bacteria, not enough good bacteria, what's going on in there? We produce a lot of our hormones along the lining of the GI tract, and so we need to make sure that that is in good working order. And I'm a huge fan of deep breathing. And this is something that is always a challenge for me, because getting a quiet room in my house to meditate probably isn't going to happen because I have a two-year-old boy. So I started incorporating just that stoplight, just breathing in, breathing out, and trying to match my breaths, and just being more conscious throughout the day of making sure that I'm getting those deep belly breaths. Because oftentimes when we're really stressed out, what happens? Like, how do you feel? Your chest gets tight, you have that chest breathing, you're not having that oxygenation through your body. So it's really important, if you are feeling stressed or you feel like you're turning into mean mommy, just stop, just take a really, really deep breath. Okay, so now we're going on to mom brain. Which I see a lot, and it can mean a lot of things. And so this one is always fun for me because I get to play detective and I get to do a lot of lab tests to figure out what's going on. Again, the micronutrients. I love, the stool panel has been the coolest thing that I've incorporated into practice. I love looking not only at bad or pathogenic bacteria and viruses, but also looking to see if there are enough good bacteria present in there. Oftentimes that gets skipped on a conventional stool panel. And it'll look at levels of inflammation in the GI tract and a whole lot of other really cool things. And so as I mentioned, a lot of hormones get produced in the GI tract. And so here with mom brain and ability to focus, that's one of the reasons that I like to incorporate the stool test. Thyroid function. It's really common, you know, after pregnancy and during pregnancy and throughout the period postpartum to have changes in your thyroid hormone. And one of the symptoms of that is inability to focus and fatigue, and a lot of the symptoms of being a new mom. And so I encourage a lot of my clients to reach out to their doctor or their OB-GYN and get a thyroid panel and see what's going on with that. Food sensitivity, sometimes. I've worked with some clients who have some kind of obscure food sensitivities, and once they took those out of the diet, their ability to focus was much better because their body was focused on focusing and not on fighting off this food that is a foreign invader to their body. Sleep again, and then fatty acids. And so the brain is very abundant in fat, and so it's really important to get fat through the diet. As a dietitian, and as somebody who's a huge fan of fat, I have to do a lot of unlearning with my clients who are very fat phobic. And fat is really, really helpful for brain function and joint lubrication, absorption of fat soluble vitamins. So things like avocado and coconut, nuts and seeds, animal fats from good quality animals, so pasture raised and grass fed, as much as you can. Fatty acids are wonderful for brain health. And then the last one, reactive versus responsive. So like I mentioned, I think I even said running away from a tiger, reactive is that fight or flight. So somebody says something to you and you react right away. You have no buffer zone. You just get angry really quickly. Oftentimes that can be an indication of some cortisol imbalances. And so I do a lot, again, with fatty acid optimization. Fatty acids help to feed the adrenal glands, and the adrenal glands are one of the primary organs that secrete the cortisol. The deep breathing, looking at micronutrients, do you have the nutrient status to support that stress process throughout the entire body? And, you know, that's all well and good. We can talk about vitamins and minerals all day long and deep breathing. But the reality is that a vitamin bottle is not going to make your kids lunch and do the dishes and make your husband's dinner. So, like, how do I actually make it work? Again, it's prioritizing time. And then these three steps. And it's a little bit of tough love here. So the first one is just learn to love leftovers. And if you're somebody that doesn't like leftovers, you have two options. You eat leftovers or you agree to cook every day. You can't have none, okay? So the leftovers are such a good option for lunches, for quick dinners. They're things that you can throw into the freezer. I'm getting ahead of myself. And so leftovers are truly a lifesaver when you're a busy mom. So I'm going to jump to this picture. This is from a client of mine. Her son, it's really an amazing story. Her son had cerebral palsy, and he was having a surgery at Scott & White, and he was going to be in the hospital for 6 months, and he was eating through a feeding tube. So she was putting pureed foods through a feeding tube, and she realized how important food is for his recovery and for being in the hospital. And so she made 6 months worth of food. I did food sensitivity testing on him, and we got him very low inflammatory foods based off of his blood type. And she pureed 6 months worth of food and brought two freezers up to Scott & White. And he lived off of that, and he did really well. So I show this to clients who say that they just don't have time, or they don't want to do leftovers, or they don't want to freeze anything. And I think this is a great testament to saying, there's really no excuse. You can do it. If you really, really want to, you can. So the first, this is kind of a tangent, the first for learning to love leftovers is what I call two birds with one stone cooking. For instance, if you have your oven on and you're baking some chicken or baking some asparagus or whatnot, the oven's already on, and in Houston, I don't like to turn my oven on very often, so throw something else in there. Throw some sweet potatoes or regular potatoes or beets or something else that is really easy to keep in the fridge and eat as a leftover. So if the oven's on and it's not full to capacity, go ahead and throw something else in there. Use your freezer. This one I love, investing in versatile cookware. So my favorite thing that I have, and I can't remember the name of it, Pyrex is a glass dish, which is really great to cook in, and they come with a lid. And so I really don't like to do all the dishes. That's my job, and I can't go to bed if there are any dishes in the sink. So, you know, we cook in the Pyrex, and then we let it cool off, and we just put the lid on it and put it in the fridge, and the next night, that's our dinner. We don't have to do any sort of preparation work because it's already in there. The only thing that we have to do is throw it back in the oven. It's super, super easy. And then during cleanup time, like if I were not going to eat that meal for lunch or for dinner the next day, when we're cleaning up, we go ahead and make our lunches at that time. And that's when we would eat the leftovers for lunch. So, you know, we make chicken or whatnot. We made an extra chicken for each of us for lunch the next day. Okay, and then always on hand foods. And this is kind of a long list, and I'm not going to read everything. But there are certain categories of foods that you should just always have. So if you are in a pinch, you can make a really, really quick meal. For greens and veggies, yes, I love fresh vegetables and I love fresh fruit, but the reality is that I don't always need to make it to the grocery store. So I'm a huge fan on weeknights when I'm really busy of just using frozen broccoli and stir fry mix and mushrooms and making a really, really easy stir fry. It's super potent in antioxidants. You can dress it up, you can change the spices and make it into a curry. And so it's a really good base recipe. Eggs are always on hand, and you can have those raw or boiled, making sure that they are pasture-raised and of good quality from well-fed chickens. Having meat, fresh and frozen, is great. Fats, you can do the grass-fed butter or ghee. You can do avocado, coconut, and nut butters. And then always having starches on hand. And I like having starches already pre-cooked. So if we're going back to that two birds with one stone cooking, if I'm making something in the oven, I'm throwing potatoes in there, and then I can just keep the potatoes in the fridge for another meal. Because they can sometimes take a long time to cook, and if I'm in a hurry, I don't want to wait for potatoes to cook. I call these the paint-by-number meals. And so for this, choosing a protein, a carb, and a fat. So the protein, as you can see, you can do like, okay, so I use stir fry as an example. So the protein there, if I'm browning up some beef, that's the protein, and then the egg that I put at the end of the stir fry is another source of protein and fat. The carb, you could do the carbohydrates that are naturally found in starchy vegetables, or you could do peas, or there, the carb, if you're incorporating some jasmine rice or basmati rice, that would be another option for a carb. And then the fat, the egg yolk, or if you're using any sort of oil for the cooking, is going to be your fat. So just kind of with each macronutrient, picking your different and respective food. And then don't overthink it. You know, I'm definitely not a chef. If anybody has gotten my meal plans, they're really easy. I have a two-year-old, I own a business, and I don't have a lot of time to cook in the kitchen, and I don't want to spend a lot of time in the kitchen. So here's my list of not overthinking it foods. So one-pan meals, stir-fry is a really great example there. You can just throw everything in a pan, and a little bit of like either coconut aminos or tamari to give it a little bit of flavor, and it's super, super easy. The crock pot just always saves the day. If you don't have one, you've got to get one. Hashes and goulashes. A hash sounds really fancy, but it's really not. It's just, we make it with sweet potatoes, and sometimes we'll cut up some apples or some pork sausage and put it in there, maybe wilt some spinach. And calling it hash, we feel a little bit fancy, but again, it's really easy. This is an example of my making it work meal. So you can see that it's encompassing the macronutrients. So my carbohydrate of choice that day were some plantain chips, my vegetables, underneath it looks like mixed greens. I have a little bit of protein from the cheese and fat from the cheese, which is a raw aged cheese. And the only protein I had that day were some hot dogs, and so that, you make it work. And a little bit of bonus with the sauerkraut and kimchi to get a little bit of probiotic into the mix. And then the salad dressing is just mustard and ketchup. So is it the epitome of health? No, but it's much better than driving through McDonald's or Burger King. Okay, number five, when in doubt, put an egg on it. So eggs make everything look good and taste good. So if you're making something and it just doesn't really look good, just fry an egg and put it on top. And then the next one, roasting makes everything taste good too. So asparagus, I love roasted veggies. It's probably not safe, but oftentimes I'll put very low temperature oven and put veggies in there and just let it roast for a long time. And my husband and my son and I will go for a walk and we come back and everything's already done. So that's really nice. And then we get the question, what about dining out? We all eat out, it's gonna happen. So what do you do? Range to restaurant eating is great. So if you can find a better quality restaurant, that would be awesome, but that's not always the case. So trying to identify foods in their whole food form. So for instance, if I ask somebody, should you get a baked potato or pasta salad?
Baked potato.
Okay, well you guys already know. Most people would say pasta salad because it has salad, right, in the name. But the reality is that you probably want to opt for the baked potato because it's in that whole food form. You can recognize it picking it from the ground, and that's what you want to look for. Side dishes are a really great place to find vegetables, potatoes. Steakhouses, surprisingly, are pretty good because you can get just a cut of meat, just the sides, just the starch. And then I also tell people to, and this looks a lot more complicated than it is, but I call this the purposeful plate. So it's making half of your plate vegetables and going beyond just vegetables, but focusing on the sulfur-rich vegetables. The sulfur-rich vegetables are like the cruciferous, kind of stinky, gassy ones, broccoli, cauliflower, bok choy. The sulfur here is really helpful in the natural detoxification in the body, and so it's important to get these through the diet in addition to regular non-starchy vegetables, so the radishes and mixed greens and tomatoes. And then you can see here what's really different from like a normal like government guideline is that the starches category is going to be a lot smaller. And here, ideally, your starches or your carbohydrates are going to be natural starches. So summer squashes and sweet potatoes and jicama. And if you tolerate grains and legumes, again, making sure that they're in their whole form. So trying to avoid too many breads and pastas and things like that. Animal proteins being about a quarter of the plate. Again, in Texas, it's kind of hard to do that at restaurants all the time because usually the meat is the entirety of the plate. Incorporating fat into the mix, again, not being fat phobic. And so the fat can be either like the cooking method, or if you have a salad and you're chopping avocado on it or putting pumpkin seeds on top. And then the bonus is adding in some fermented foods. So this could be sauerkraut or kimchi. a grass-fed, raw-aged cheddar cheese is great, kombucha, just something throughout the day. And it doesn't have to be at every meal, but making sure that you're intentionally getting fermented foods through the day. And then exercise. All right, so now we're really focusing on cooking food, so when am I gonna find time to exercise? This is just something that, you know, becomes habit, and you just have to naturally incorporate it throughout the day. Standing more throughout the day, so if you are at a job where you're sitting a lot, maybe getting an exercise ball and sitting on that, or setting a timer and just standing up, take the stairs. My favorite one is when I'm going on a walk with my family, well, my husband and I will take turns running intervals up and down the street. Body weight exercises at the park. It's like if you have a TRX, that's great. But I went to the park the other day and I tried to do the monkey bars and that was really hard. So that was exercise enough for me. But you know, incorporate your kids, just running around with your kids. And if you see what kids do, they don't exercise and they are pretty much healthy and good shape. So running around with them, getting those like fast and slow intervals with them, it's fun, but it's also really, really healthy for you. And I'm a huge fan of 30-minute workouts. Again, going back to the quality and not the quality, not the quantity. So if you're somebody who likes to run for 2 hours, that's great. But if you're busy and you just want to condense it, you get a lot of benefit from doing like a really hard 30-minute workout versus like a not so hard hour-long workout. And I love this. Spend less time in the gym burning off junk and more time in the kitchen making healthier meals. So a lot of people, know, if you're exercising to burn off what you ate at lunch, that's maybe not the best mindset to have. So making a better choice at that meal, and maybe spending a little bit less time at the gym. And this one's really, really important, is just to relax and restore and breathe, get adequate sleep, realizing that the stresses are never going to go away. So incorporating a good stress management practice is going to be really, really helpful. We all have to learn how to deal with the stress. And it doesn't have to be meditating. I like to watch Real Housewives, and it's kind of embarrassing, but that is my stress relief. Gratitude goes a long way. So whether it's just realizing what you're grateful for, writing it down in a journal, some people like to do it before bed, some people like to do it first thing in the morning, just choosing the right time of day for you to be thankful for at least one thing. Unforgiveness. As moms, this is really hard. Forgiving yourself and realizing that you're gonna mess up, and you have messed up, and our parents messed up, and being okay with that. And just loving yourself, and that sounds kind of corny, but realizing that you're doing a good job. So again, that's my son. And if you follow me on social media, I post his plates, a lot of what he's eating, and I always have to put a disclaimer that like I take the picture before he eats, and he likely doesn't eat everything that I put on there. You just have to keep trying and trying and trying. And so for instance, my son all of a sudden hates ground beef, but if I take the plate away and I put it back and I call it ground chicken, he eats it. So sometimes you just have to repurpose things a little bit. But I would love to hear from you guys. My practice is near the Med Center. So if you're familiar with that area, it's in West University on Kirby and Sunset. My social media is Choose Food Wisely, and my website is Choose Food Wisely, but otherwise you can just Google Nicole Fennell and it'll pop right up.